Since you were saved, how many of you changed your minds on some things in scriptures? Yeah. Most of you. Actually, probably ought to see every hand. Because I rather doubt that you had a handle on everything when you got saved. And very likely things that we thought were true maybe in the first few years, we begin to really look into Scripture. We've got to change our thought on it and so forth, because Scripture has now become more clear. We see it from more aspects. We see it maybe I could say more from God's point of view than our own. And sometimes we look at things narrowly. We ought to be growing in the things of God. Amen. And certainly there are going to be things that are going to change in those things. I experienced that. I think you do. What a wonderful privilege that is. I remember one time hearing a couple of young men talking about their dad. He was a preacher, and they said, in all the years I've known Dad, he's never, ever changed one little bit. I mean, he's preached the same thing he did way back. Well, there was a lot commendable about that. But I got to thinking, I'm sure that he had learned a few things and some things changed through the years as well. And that ought to be. Not only should God's people in the pew be growing, but God's pastor in the pulpit needs to grow as well. And it comes about in a number of different ways. Experiences is one of those things. Of course, as we read and study the Word of God and allow it to penetrate into our heart and our soul. I was thinking about that song, Sweet Hour of Prayer. I don't know if you spend an entire hour praying, but what a blessed time it is. We can look in the Word of God, let God be speaking to our hearts, and we speak to God, and we just have that communion together for whatever period of time that is. Really, how sweet that is. I've made it a point for the last, I don't know, probably 15 years. I've been reading through the Word of God every 2 months, and it's a blessing. Sometimes it's out of rote, and sometimes I'm not gaining much because I'm trying to get this thing done. And that's got its bad side. I will confess that. But it also keeps me in it and keeps me going through every aspect of it. What a privilege that is to just read God's Word, allow it to mold into our hearts and do its work. Amen? And I love the fact that almost every morning something jumps out at me I'd never really looked at before. Once in a while, it's something old that come back. You have that experience? Sometimes it's something brand new. God just showed you. Those, you know, just hallelujah times in our lives. We need those things. Well, let's look here. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. Chapter number 12. I'm going to read, well, maybe the whole thing. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Friends, the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? But if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are the many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Let's pray. Father, thank you this evening. We can have in our hands this precious book. Lord, I pray tonight you might teach us valuable truth. And Lord, I pray that this truth might just generate our hearts and our love and desire for one another. And God, that we might be a people truly that operate as you wish us to. I pray you might bless and honor your word in our hearts tonight. In Christ's name, amen. Notice with me verse 27 to begin with. Notice what it says. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Now let's understand something. Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. He's talking about this local body. We talked about that this morning in this morning's message. So here is a church now. It's called a body. And here he's saying that ye are the body of Christ, and notice that members in particular. It's interesting to me that a number of times in these few verses he talks about membership. A lot of folks say, well, membership's not in the Word of God. I beg to differ with you. We find in the book of Acts they were added into the church, and evidently somebody was a member and some more were added to that membership. And here he uses those words. But notice they're members in particular. So we have within a local body, a local assembly of people, those members. And those members, they must interact and they must be that which operates as a whole. We'll see that through the scripture that is given to us here. As he begins this chapter, the brethren are individual members of that church. Notice there he says, now concerning the gifts, brethren, they're individual members of that church. And we can make application, of course, to that church, but ourselves as well. We don't look at 1 Corinthians and say that just applied to them. It does not apply to us. We realize that it applies to Open Door Baptist Church as much as it did to the Corinthian church. We understand that tonight. And so here we find we can make application. And he says here, I don't want you to be ignorant about this thing of spiritual gifts. And we notice something. Go down to verse number 3 with me. He says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Who's doing the speaking? Who's doing the speaking? This is important for us to catch on here tonight. Is it the Spirit of God or is it the man? Talk to me, folks. That no man speaking by the Spirit of God, what? By. It's talking about his enabling. But it's the man who's doing the speaking. It's good for us to understand and recognize that. And that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit of God enables you and I to do so many things. Without Him, we are nothing. Is that not true? And so we find that God works in so many different ways in this particular thing. And that's what it talks about in verse 4, 5, and 6. He says there are diversities of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And though He has many gifts, it's the Spirit who works those, by the Spirit those that are operational. There are differences of administrations, the way these things are administered. But it's the same Lord who does that. There are diversities of operation, but it's the same God. And so God works in many, many different ways. We understand that tonight. Now let's go back for you who were in my Sunday school class. And what did we learn? We learned that every child is different. We learned that every child learns differently. They perceive differently. They take in information differently. They apply it differently in their hearts and their lives. Every one of us, no matter if we're a child or an adult, that's true of. And we all have these differences. And God knows how to work those things. And God knows how to get to each of our hearts. And God has this wonderful ability. Notice in verse number 7, God is trying to tell us something. Though He has all these different things, and all of us are different in all of these things, yet there's something important. The ministration of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. God wants you and I to be profitable. God wants you and I to grow. God wants you and I to be more than we were yesterday. That's His desire. And you and I, we have the wonderful privilege by the Spirit of God, by His enabling, to have that take place in our lives. Now let's notice here, as we go to verse number 8, notice what He says. Now He says, "For to one, not to many, but to one." He says it's given to every man to profit, but to one is given the Spirit, or by the Spirit, the word of wisdom. So here is somebody, or maybe several somebodies, but at least to one within this body, one has the word of wisdom. If it's the word of wisdom, evidently he's one who can speak forth wise things. And it isn't wonderful, as God puts together a group of people, there's some people that just seem to have a greater amount of wisdom that God has placed in the midst. And they can give us those wonderful little hints to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. So we look here and we find that the Spirit of God is enabling some to be more productive in wisdom, some to be more productive in knowledge. And so as we go through, we notice in these gifts to another faith by the same Spirit. By the way, are not all of us to be wise? Are we not all commanded by God to gain wisdom? Are we not all to learn to gain knowledge? Amen. Are we not all to have faith? We're not going to get saved without faith. We're not going to live without faith. But notice something here. To another, faith by the same Spirit. It seems to be that the Holy Spirit of God enable certain people to have certain abilities above their brethren. What's the purpose of that? So that they can lord it over them? Not by any means. It's given to every man to profit thereby. And so as you and I, we look at somebody that seems to have a greater faith than us, that is to propel us in the area of faith. And when I hear people with some wonderful words of wisdom, I don't know what it does to you, but to me it's saying, man, I'd like to have that. And I remember years ago, sitting in camp on the side of the hill, and a guy named Kenny, I don't remember his last name, and he was talking about the Proverbs, and he started in chapter number 10, and he was doing this little 3 or 4 word definition of every verse, and we got through about 5 verses in those 5 days, and it put me on a quest for the next several years to go through those Proverbs one at a time, day after day. And I shared them with school kids and others. And I'd have those little 3-word definitions. And it was helping me to understand the Proverbs and to give me some wisdom in that area. How'd that start? Because I heard a guy say something. It propelled me a little bit. And so God places in our local churches people who are like that. They have that ability. To another, he says, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Have you noticed there are some people who have a better handle on medications and all the different things that we ought to do. They have an understanding. They realize those things. And they can be a blessing. To another, the working of miracles. Are we not all to see miracles? Have we not seen them in our lives? I would hope so. And yet to some, it seems like, my goodness, they're just always seeing miracles. They're seeing things take place. And it puts a longing in my soul to see God move and to work in that way in my life. You see, God has given those that we all might profit. It's not that we would have pride, because the Holy Spirit of God is not putting that in us. That's not one of His fruit. And so the Spirit of God, as He enables us, it is that we might then be a blessing to others. Remember what I asked you a while ago? Did you get a blessing from somebody at church today? How does that come about? Because somebody was willing to share in some way with you. What it was, I don't know. But that can be a blessing to you. That happens not only during church service, but ought to happen throughout the week as we have contact in different and various means. God uses that in our lives. And it's for our benefit. And it's by the Spirit. Well, let's look here at verse number 11. He says there, "But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." Now, I find that interesting in light of verse number 31, because in verse number 31, He says we ought to desire the best gifts. He never tells us what those are, and yet here He says God is dividing it up. And you and I ought to desire what's best for us. And allow God to work that in us and through us. And God wants to divide that to us that we might be used. You see, somehow I'd like to get this across to every person at Open Door Baptist Church, and that is, you are vitally important to the entire program of this church. You might think that you are insignificant, but that is absolutely a lie out of the pit of hell. Every person is very critical to the operation. And if we could see that, it would revolutionize our thinking about the local church and about our own part in it. Now let's notice, we go on here in, verse number 11, verse number 12. It says, "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ." So here we find now that the body is used to demonstrate all of these diverse manifestations. We'll see it a little bit later, but the body has different parts, right? As we go down, we find that there's the part that hears, there's the part that smells. I mean, there's a part that feels, there's a part that moves about and grabs things. And the body has all of these different parts. And it is still one body. Okay? It's one in number. It's one in its unity. That's just what I'm speaking of. Now notice verse 13. "For by one Spirit..." Here's where we do something wrong. "For by one Spirit..." By the way, all the other times we said by one Spirit, what was it? It was an enabling, wasn't it? I want to tell you something. I don't believe there's such a thing. And I've wrestled with this all of my life. As what you might call Spirit baptism. There's a filling of the Holy Spirit. There is the Spirit of God as He was to come down upon them on the day of Pentecost. There's a sealing of the Holy Spirit. But this is not talking about the Spirit baptizing. It's by one Spirit. It's by His what? Enabling. We are all baptized into one body. By the way, how do we get into a church? Let's go back and review. We have the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. How do we get in the kingdom of God? We're born again. We're born by the Spirit into that kingdom. That's John chapter 3, very, very vividly. How do you get into a church? Acts chapter 2, verse 41. What did they do? They professed their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were what? They were baptized. See? Does baptism save us? No. It has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with our obedience. It has to do with our identification. And so when they were, what? profess their salvation. They confess the Lord Jesus Christ. They were baptized. They were added to the church. We can see that throughout the book of Acts over and over again, actually. And so we come here and we see this: by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. And so there's the baptism. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, what's he trying to get across to us? He's trying to get across that you and I, we come together in the same manner. We're brought into this local body in the same manner. How was it? We got saved, we were baptized, we followed the Lord Jesus Christ, we become a part of that. For these people, this was different than the church at Jerusalem, because the church at Jerusalem didn't have any Gentiles. Not when it was first formed. But now we find at Corinth that it's got Gentiles and Jews. Some of them were bond and some were free. Some were slaves and some were free people. And we notice here what they were all brought into this body. And they were there for a purpose. For a purpose. And if you notice in the next few verses what that purpose amounted to. For the body is not one member, but what? Many, many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not of the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Well, that's absolutely silly. If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is therefore not of the body? What's he saying? He's saying, because we might be different than our brethren does not mean we're not apart with them. All of us are different. And isn't it marvelous how God can put together a people who can be so diverse and have different abilities and different qualities? And what's he doing when he does that? He's putting together a body that might operate for his glory. And a body that might care for its own members. And too often we don't in that. Let me go to verse 18. But now God has set the members, every one of them, in the body. Notice how it says it. As it hath pleased him. As it pleased him. We might look at some body within the body, if we so please. We might look at an individual and say, well, I'm not real pleased about them. But it's pleased God. And God has been pleased to put them within. If they were all one member, where were the body? What's he saying? It's not a, we're not alone in this thing. But now are there many members, yet but one body. He's talking to a church here. He's talking to this local body of Christ. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are what? Necessary. We might look and say, I'm a Sunday school teacher, and I'm very important in Open Door Baptist Church because I have a Sunday school class. But without some 4- and 5-year-olds to sit in your class, you're not very important at all. Really, stop and think about it. You know, I can be a pastor of a church, but if there's nobody there, is that really a pastor? And everyone is important. Everyone is important. And we need to understand that. And they are necessary. They might seem to be more feeble, but God says they're necessary. And those members of the body, verse 23, which think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. I think sometimes we maybe honor more parts that and leave out others. And fail to recognize what certain ones are doing. Oh, how we need to be what? Active in our acceptance and love and encouragement, not just to a few, but to all. That there not be a schism in the bodies it talks about in verse 25. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. So we come into these things together. Now you're the body of Christ and members in particular. What do we see here? God has brought us together as a local church, a body of Christ. What? to be used of Him. And this may be some restatements of this morning, but I found repetition is a good teacher. And how we need to understand that every one of us is so very vital. And we begin to think that we're not, and we begin to think, I'm not really a part of it, and that kind of thing, and we get these thoughts into our heads, and we fail to recognize we are important. It doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter the title we have. And you know, when we're in service for God, and you're missing. And I use in the word in service, not just in services, but in service for God. And so, if a part of us is missing, then somebody else has to do it or it don't get done. And you know what happens sometimes? Some people get wore out because others aren't doing it. And there's so much to accomplish for the Lord. Amen. So I'm not really doing anything. I bet you if you really said, Lord, open my eyes to something that needs to be done, be amazing what He might show you. And it probably will have something to do with your abilities and your temperament, because God does that. He's just a marvelous God. And then when we look at our brethren, and some of them are different than us. They act different. Sometimes they even talk different. Sometimes they're different. And we look and we think, they're weird. But God brought them together with us for a purpose. I'm sure that those Jews thought, Gentiles in church with me, those unclean dogs. What would they have to recognize? God loved them too. Can you imagine a slave owner as he sits down in church and looks across at another slave from another guy's household? We're in the same church. Kind of bring about some changes in thoughts, wouldn't it? Might bring us to a better reality of life. God's so good we stop and think about that. And so He's brought us together. How He's done it has been miraculous. How God does that in the future is miraculous. And God has reason in the whole thing. I don't know about you, get excited about it. And just see what God has done and how He wants to use you and how He wants to be a blessing to you and how He wants you to be a blessing to somebody else. There's certain individuals that always bring me encouragement. Very seldom I disappointed on that. I need encouragement. Do you? Yeah. And sure we do. And there's certain individuals that do that for you. And they might not be the same as they do for me. That's how God puts it together. And then let God use you to be that same thing. Don't get so caught up in self that we're not usable. Because that's what God wants to do. Amen. Lord God, tonight, help us see this beautiful picture. As You put us together, Lord, You've not united us to fight or to bigger, to find faults and all those things, but God, that we might be a people brought together to serve You. Oh yes, Lord, through it we learn our sins, we learn our faults, and we get bolstered up and we repent and we get those things right and we grow in You as a result of it. God, help us to see that we are such a vital part. And sometimes we just look and think we're not. Lord, if each one in this room had that feeling, what a difference it would make in our service, in our friendships, in our actions. Oh God, help us to see that very important thing. Bless and work in our hearts and lives. Lord, I don't know what needs to be taken care of in way of altar call tonight, but God, we know that you have your reasons and you have your ways, and perhaps there's one tonight. And God, that you might, maybe you're dealing with one tonight. I just pray that you would just energize them to walk down the aisle and get it right with you. Bless in these moments, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to stand tonight, Christine.
I hope you say amen. I don't want you to discourage me.
All right. Hey, shake somebody's hand. Let them know that, you know, it's good to see them. Sometimes that little word is what somebody needed. And you fulfilled the obligation that God had for you. So, amen. God bless you tonight.